Okay, Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is daf Pei Gimel. We're holding the last two words on Pei Beis Amid Beis Omer Rav. Les lemasnisin mekame braiso. What are we referring to? Remember back in the Mishnah on daf Pei Aleph Amid Aleph, we had Rabbi Yosi v'Rabbi Shimon Oimrim. If you go back to the Mishnah for one short moment, Pei Aleph Amid Aleph, second line of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yosi v'Rabbi Shimon Oimrim. Androgyn is koyin, shenosu bas Yisrael, machilo bitruma. Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon both hold that androgynous is a zohar vadai. And therefore, if he marries a bas Yisrael, a koyin who marries a bas Yisrael, he's machil bitruma. Yes, it's machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan, Rish Lakish, Teraisa, the Rabbanan, maskim. But lemaisa, we see that Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon both hold androgynous is a zohar Vadai, and therefore he can be machil his wife, Betruma. Says Rav, however, there was a major change over the years. Les lemasisa mekami braisa. We do not follow this psak in the Mishnah, because Rabbi Yosi himself, who was one of the two authors of this halacha, changed his mind in the braisa, the sanya, Rabbi Yosi Oimen. And droigin is beri b'fnei atzmahu. On the government forms where it says gender,
X.
Instead of checking off male or female, he would check off the other. Why? Because androgynous, I'm not sure. Although the Gemara used the expression beri b'fneyatz, but what the Gemara really means to say is it's a suffix. I don't know for sure if it's a zohar or nekeva. And since I don't know for sure, if in fact such a male, not a male, if such an androgynous koyin were to go and marry a bas Yisrael, he could not be ma'achil betruma, because I'm not sure that it's a zohar. Maybe it's an akeva. Therefore, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosi changed his mind. We do not follow the Mishnah, we follow the Raisa. And the obvious question is, who said? Adrab, lesl b'raisa mekam masnisim. Why don't we say that we should go and follow the Mishnah and not follow the Braisa? And say that if Rabbi Yosi changed his mind, maybe he originally expressed his thoughts in this Braisa, and subsequently he said in the Mishnah, no, I changed my mind, it's a Zohar Vadai. Says him, I'll tell you why. Midashavke Rabbi Yosi lebar zuge. After all, we had Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon together in the Mishnah. Here we only find Rabbi Yosi. So he left behind his chavrusa, and here he said, no, it's a suffix. Shema mini hodabe. So we see that clearly he changed his mind. So it's not that there's a stira over here. Clearly he changed his mind. He previously was together with Rav Shimon. He said, Rav Shimon, I thought about it a little bit longer. I respectfully disagree. And now in the Braisa he says, it's a suffix, not a vadai. On the surface, the Gemara is a little bit difficult. It's clear that Rabbi Yosi left behind his colleague Reb Shimon, no question. However, theoretically, it could be the other way around. Maybe the Braisa came first, and in the Braisa, Rabbi Yosi said it's a suffix. Then after sitting the entire Leil Shavuos, for instance, learning this sugya with Reb Shimon, Reb Shimon convinced him that no, an androgynous happens to be a zocha. So that's the reason, not that Rabbi Yosi left his chavrusa behind, maybe he added a chavrusa in the Mishnah. Here in the Braisa, he says, it's a suffix. After learning with the Shimon, as a gishmak, and again, and be'iyun, he decided that it's taka a zocher vadai. So this is not my kasha, this is the kasha of the toises down below. Very short toises. It's the first of the middle wide lines. You see the two, three sizes of lines here. So the middle wide lines are b'yusil barzuge tema. Maybe changed his mind from the Braisa. And he joined with Reb Shimon of the Mishnah. So the Rosh asks this kasha in the back of the Gemara as well. And the Rosh says, it's mistaver that the Mishnah was written earlier, and that the Braisa came on the coattails, if you will, of the Mishnah. The Rosh says, Rav les l'masis mekami Braisa, desanya b'yosi oimer, etc. And then he says, "The ain loyma the hoder bei mi brisa the gabi Reb Shimon the masnisin the mistam hamishna nishnas tchila." Probably the Mishnah was written first, and then only subsequently the brisa. And since we see that Reb Yosi said to Reb Shimon, "Sayonara zayizun tatzlocha," and he now on his own went into the Braisa, and therefore it's Mistaver, therefore the Rabbi Yossi changed his mind from the Mishnah to the Braisa. The Pshat in the Rosh is very good. There's only one problem with that. With that, we don't need to talk about the fact that Mishavkir Rabbi Yossi Lebar Zuge, even if there wasn't a Rib Shimon, if the Rosh is saying Mistama, the Mishnah comes first, so then the Gemara could have said that was the reason. The reason why Les Lamasis Mekami Braisa. Probably all the Mishnais were codified first, and then some of the Tanoim said, but you left out this Nekuda and that one, so we're going to add a whole bunch of a new body of law known as Braises, which were not previously codified in the Mishnah. And if that's the case, you don't need to say Midashavki Rabbi Yossi Lebar Zuge. Maybe the reason why Rav favors the Brais over the Mishnah, because that's the last word on the subject. Anyway, Azush Deito in the Rosh, that's Toysis Kasha. And with that, we will.
Is that Rabbi and Raboshia?
I'm sorry, once again.
Who codified the
Rabbi
and brought the braces?
Rabbi and Raboshia were both major codifiers of braces, but so they weren't the only one. There are a lot of braces
in that came, I assume, after Rabbi, so it made such a
contemporary. They were all contemporaries, but after, well, it could be maybe 1 or 2 years younger, or a lot later, but the point is, that's what the Rosh is telling us, that Mistoma, the Mishnayis, were put together first, and then the Tanoim reviewed the Mishnayis and said, yeah, Rabbeinu Kodesh left out this halacha, that halacha, this man the yomar. So then they added some additional Tanoim. However, it was never codified as part of the Mishnah, and therefore it was kind of a supplement, which we call Braises. Anyway, that is Rav. Who Shmuel Amar, Shmuel in fact says the other way around. Les le Braise mekam masnisen. In fact, we do not follow the Braise, we follow the Mishnah. And the Mishnah says, as we learned, that an androgynous is considered to be a Zohar Rada. Why don't we go and say the reverse, that less lamasisin become a braisa, like Rav said, we should follow the braisa and not the Mishnah. And I'll tell you why. The Shemina Le the Shmuel the Chayish Lichido. Back on Daf Mem Aleph, we had a Mishnah, and that Mishnah brought a Das Yochid of Reb Yehuda, talking about, I believe it's a Yudim and the Seder, if I'm not mistaken, by Shemeres Yom Shekidesh Ochid Es Achoisa. What was the situation over there? You had a Yavama that fell to multiple brothers, and then one brother decided to go and be Mekadesh, give Erisin, to a sister of this Shemeres Yom. Should he have done that? And the answer is no. Why shouldn't he have done that? Because he already had a Zika from the Shemeres Yavam, and now he will be prevented from doing anything vis-a-vis that Shemeres Yavam, because she is now Achoy Ziku Kasoy. He happens to be, he just married, not married with Nisuin, but married with Kiddushin, the brother, not the brother, the sister of the Shemeres Yavam. He shouldn't have done that. Achoy Ziku Kasoy. But he did it. What do we do? It says, if you in that Mishnah, we go and say, Hamtein Achiyasa Ochicha Masa. Why don't you wait until your other brother decides what he wants to do? Whether he wants to do a Yibam or a Chalitza and remove the Zika. Once he removes that Zika, then you, the brother that married the second sister, can go and then consummate the marriage and do a Nisuin. And the Gemara says over there, Shmuel says, I paskin like that, Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Shmuel paskin like Rabbi Yehuda? Because Chayish Lechida. Even though others disagree with that Rabbi Yehuda, because they hold it, Ein Zika. Rabbi Yehuda holds Yeh Zika. So I have an Achoy Ziku Kosei. Don't consummate. Since I see that Shmuel is Chayish Lechida, says the Gemara, I would have thought that he should go and follow the Braisa, because there Rabbi Yossi is a Yechida. He's all on his own. Shmuel should have said, I always stand up for dissenting rights. I'm always favoring the underdog. Why would we go and say that Shmuel says less le braisim mekam masis, and he should say less le masisim mekam braisim? Every morhani milikiloi misakre masnisim. That's dafkin a situation where you're not oikir a mishnah. Dafkin misakre masnisim loy chayish. However, when you're being oikir a full mishnah, does nisht. In other words, if we would only have the braisa with this daya of Rabbi Yossi, yes, Shmuel always believes in chayish lechidor. Yeah, I favor the underdog, so to speak. However, in this case, if you're going to favor the underdog of the braisa, that means that you're going to have to push the delete button on the Mishnah and say, we don't follow the Mishnah. No, we didn't want to say that according to Shmuel. Shmuel favors the integrity of the Mishnayis. Yes, sir?
So, based on this, there's some sort of hierarchy of
authority?
Yes.
What do you mean?
Meaning that if something is stated in a Mishnah, but later in a Braita, it's not as stated, meaning that the Mishnah takes precedence?
As a general rule, the Mishnah would take precedence, because Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rebbe, was considered to be the greatest Gadol in his era, and since his Mishnayos were accepted throughout Klal Yisrael as the basis of Torah Shebaal Peh, so that it becomes the major body of law. There can always be exceptions and exclusions and difference of opinion, but usually the Mishnah is considered to be the most authoritative of all the authorities, and Braises are mentioned throughout the Gemara, throughout Shas, however they don't rise to the level of the...
So this whole Shach Libertarian that we're going through, that Rav Yossi changed his mind in the Braisa, are we applying this hierarchy or not?
That's a very good question. So we have a machloket between Rav and Shmuel. Rav, you see, is the very top. It says, Les Lamasis Mekami Braisa. Even though normally, Mishnah is with a capital M, Braisa is with a small base. This is one of those cases where the Mishnah is disregarded and we follow the Braisa. Not because there is a contradiction, which there is, but because Rav says it must be that Rav Yossi changed his mind. Yes, at one time he held like he wrote in the Mishnah, like he was quoted in the Mishnah, but in subsequent years he changed his mind. Rebbe didn't know about it, or Rebbe didn't accept it, or whatever. We don't know why Rebbe didn't.
So we're not applying the hierarchy.
In this case, according to Rav, we're not applying the hierarchy, but according to Shmuel, we are. That's why Shmuel says we do not favor the Braisa, Mikami Masnisin, rather we're going to go with the Mishnah. We had a Gemara not too long ago, it was on the bottom of the Amud Beis, where the Gemara said that if you have a Stam and a Mishnah, and you have a Machloikis and a Braisa, or you have a Stam and a Braisa, and a Machloikis and a Mishnah, you always typically go after the Mishnah, not after the Braisa. It's early on, probably the Lamas or the Mems. We need some time to just find it quickly, but anyway, let's continue on. So we have Machloikis, Rav, and Shmuel. Ultimately, do we follow the Mishnah or the Braisa? Okay, it's here on the bottom of Mem Beis Amud Beis, Mem Beis Amud Beis. See if you, that's 42B. 42B. To be or not to be. In this case, to be. 42B. It's on the very last two lines of the Amud. If you look at the end of the penultimate line, where it says, Stoma de masnisen o machloikis bebraisa mai. If you have a Stam Mishnah which says, this is halacha, then you find a machloikis and a braisa, what do you do? Amalei halacha kistam. Then we follow the Mishnah. Machloikis with Masis in the stomach of the Braisa, my what happened to the Machloikis in the Mishnah and Stamma Braisa? What do you do? If Rebbe didn't codify the rule in the Mishnah, then where did Reb Chiya take it from? So therefore, it's always that the Mishnah is the highest authority and the Braisa is secondary. In this case, is Rav, where we find a direct contradiction in terms between Reb Yossi and Reb Yossi, obviously, we don't want to make a Machloikis between the Talmidim of Rabbi Yossi, if we can avoid it. And therefore we say that Rabbi Yossi changed his mind in subsequent years. And the best Rai is that he left Rabbi Shimon behind, and he only said this halacha on his own. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara, Amri Beirav. Amri Beirav is approximately 10 lines from the top of the Amid. The last word on the line is Amri Beirav Mishmei Derav. The Gemara on the Amud Beis is going to tell us that whenever it uses that term Beirav on its own, it means Rav Una. I'm only telling you this now so that when we get to it, it won't be a Pella to you. The Gemara, there's a Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, where the Gemara quotes a whole bunch of different type of vague references, about 10 or 15 of them, which are used throughout Shas, where it doesn't identify the particular man de Yomar, where there it says, when it says this, it means these individuals. Anyway, Ayin Shom and Daf Yud Zayin in Sanhedrin. Beginning back to Agama. Ami Beirav Mishmei Derav. Rav Huna is in the name of Rav. Halach ki Rabbi Yossi b'Androgynus u'b'Harkov. The halach is like Rabbi Yossi, both by the case of Androgynus that we've been talking about. U'b'Harkov means the Gabi Hilchois Shmita, as we'll see in a moment. Now, before we continue on, which Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yossi of the Mishnah or Rabbi Yossi of the Braisa? I knew that you were all going to jump on that. And the answer is, we're referring to, says Rashi, Rabbi Yossi of our Mishnah. How do I know, says Rashi? because although the Gemara only says halacha k'Rabbi Yosi, we're going to find now all of the four cases which the Gemara is going to discuss. It's going to always refer to Rabbi Yosi v'Rab Shimon, Rabbi Yosi v'Rab Shimon, Rabbi Yosi v'Rab Shimon. So therefore, says Rashi, it's mistaver when he says here halacha k'Rabbi Yosi. He means Rabbi Yosi and the Rab Shimon in our Mishnah, not the Rabbi Yosi of the price, because there's no Rab Shimon together with him. And therefore, says Rashi, this Ami Beirami Shmei the Rav disagrees with the Rav that we had until now. Because Amar Rav, how did we start off today's shir? Forget about the Mishnah, we follow the Braisa. Now this Ami Beirami Shmei the Rav said, no, we taka, stay with the Mishnah, and we pass them like Rabbi Yosi and like Rab Shimon together. If you're wondering where I take this from, it's Rashi Halacha K'Rabbi Yosi. You see about, I don't know, 12 lines from the top of the Amid. Halacha K'Rabbi Yosi Dimas Nisin. The Amid Beirav Hayne Ravuna K'Lakamon, like we'll see in the Amid days. Upalik Adamon Liel. He disagrees with what we said, that Aliba Derav Leisa Lamas Nisin. He doesn't follow that. He said, no, we do follow the Mishnah. Harkova L'Kamon Mefarishla. And we'll see this, what Harkova means shortly. V'chem Koishi V'Kiddish. Ubekulu Ayri Reb Shimon Bade. In all four cases, as we'll see, Reb Shimon is together with Reb Yosi as two chavrusas together. Hilkach Mestavra, probably that Reb Yosi the Masisin Koi, the Ayri Reb Shimon Bade. So says Rashi, although it doesn't say crystal clearly in the Gemara. Since all the other cases are about Reb Yosi Reb Shimon, Reb Yosi Reb Shimon, so over here too, presumably he means Reb Yosi Reb Shimon of the Mishnah and not Reb Yosi of the Raisa. So getting back to our Gemara, Halakha Rabbi Yosi bar Droygenes ubeharkova. That means the Gabi Hilcha Shmita. We'll see what that means in a moment. And Shmuel says we pass him like Rabbi Yosi, and parenthetically Reb Shimon. In the case of Kushi ubekiddush, what do those things mean? Harkova, Kushi, bekiddush. The Gemara is going to explain now in detail. And we start again with a Droygenes. And Droygenes Hadi Amora. I don't have to go through the whole parsha again. We already have the Mishnah, Daf Pei Aleph. Androgynous, Rabbi Yosef Shimon say, he has a status of a Vada Yizoch, and that's why he can machel his wife Betruma. We paskin like that, Rabbi Yosi, not like Rabbi Yosef the Brisa. What's the case of Harkova? Did not. Ein noitin, ve'ein mavrichin, ve'ein markivin, erev shviyas, poches mishloishim yoim, lefnei Rosh Hashanah. Ve'mnota, ve'hivrich, ve'hirkiv, ya'akor. What the Mishnah is telling us, a Mishnah Masechta Shviyas, talking about this year, Hilcha Shemitah, that last year, right before Shemitah began, starting from Rosh Chodesh Elul, you're not allowed to do any planting, you're not allowed to do any Havrocha or Harkava. Havrocha means to go and take a vine from the vineyard, or a branch from a tree, and put it underneath the earth, so that it grows out on the other side, a new vine, or a new branch, or a new tree. Same thing as Harkova is similar to what we call the Esrig Hamurkov, that we go and graft one branch of one tree onto another tree to give it strength and stability. That's cool, that's how you have the Esrig Hamurkov, because in many, many places, an Esrig tree was considered to be a very delicate and fragile tree. Just blew at it and would fall over. And therefore they would go and graft onto it a branch from a lemon tree. And then the problem is that all of those esrogim now may turn out to be lemons in more ways than one. And therefore it won't be a kosher esrog, and that's why today whenever you buy esrogim, typically the mocha will tell you, yeah, it's einay murkav, it's not mixed from the two minim together. Anyway, but that's the kavana of grafting. And what it tells us is that these things may not be done for 30 days before Rosh Hashanah of Shemitah. Why not? The reason is because the Tanna Kamma holds, it takes 30 days to be niklat. Niklat means to be absorbed in the ground. Like the Orei Miklat, or in Eretz Yisrael, they have the Misrad HaKlita, which is for absorption. When do these three, the Netiyas, when you're planting, or you're putting into the ground, or you're doing a grafting, all of those three things, it takes 30 days till they take effect. So when are they going to go and take effect? They're going to take effect into the new year. But you're not going to plant in the new year. That's why you're not even planting 30 days before, because that's when the roots will start forming, that's when the seeds will start blossoming and bursting open, etc. 30 days later, so you're not going to do that for 30 days before. And if you did it, then you have to go and be okay, you have to go and pull it out, because that's the Isser of Shemitah not to plant in Shemitah.
Can you explain the difference between Mavrichin and Markivin? At least one is putting the vine into the ground, and the other is putting it on a tree.
You obviously didn't grow up in a rural area.
I did.
So
would you like to share with us your huge experience in this area?
The market share did a perfect job.
A vineyard is called a vineyard because grapes don't grow on branches, they grow on vines. If you want to expand your vineyard so it should be larger and more voluminous, etc., one of the ways of doing so is to take the vine and instead of cutting it and taking the remaining vine and planting it somewhere else, you take that very vine, you dig a little bit into the ground, you take the vine and put it into the ground, cover it up nicely, and then water it, and then 30 days later, the vine will start new roots and will start growing a little bit further away from where you planted in the ground, so that when you come back 6 months later, hey, a new vineyard is growing on the other side, and everybody says, you did a great job. That's what we call being mavrich. Markiv means that you have a tree which you feel is somewhat weak, and you'd go and take a branch from another tree and you paste it on to the existing tree. Whether you have to go and cut one of the existing branches of the tree and put it over there or not, I'm not sure. Perhaps Brother Shai knows better. But what you do is you have to go and take the new branch from an existing tree and put it onto the tree that you wanted to graft it upon. You connect them together, you put on crazy glue, or you put on it some sort of scotch tape, or whatever, I'm sorry?
That's not kelayim?
Kelayim is a different subject altogether. That typically involves grapes together with chita and seora, but it doesn't have to be dafka chita seora, it can also be other minim, as we'll see on the bottom of the omut. However,
the etrog and the lemon is...
The etrog, even assuming that it's kelayim, the question is, what happens if you did it pre-Shemitah? What Gemara says is that since after 30 days it's going to go and grow into the Shemitah year, therefore it's prohibited. What you're saying is, the assumption is that you do not have a kelayim problem. That's correct. Not everything that you mix together is kelayim.
So grafting doesn't automatically lead to kelayim.
Correct, correct. When yes, when not, I'm not a kelayim expert. We'd have to wait till we get to Mishnah's kelayim, and then we'd have to discuss it in greater detail.
So the different terms are just like kotzer and botzer for, it's just referring to different areas of agriculture.
It's a nice parallel that you're giving tzira and betzira, but it's different. Because tzira and betzira, you're doing basically the same thing. You're cutting off the fruits from the vines, from the trees, from wherever. So this is called the harvest with a beis, and this is called the harvest with a kuf, but it's really the same thing. Here you're doing two different things altogether. Okay. Presumably the person that understands the vine putting into the ground will be that person who does that. The person who understands grafting will do the grafting. Okay. But these are two separate things, just like the planting is a third thing. The purpose of all three of them is to go and grow new fruits on new trees, on new vines, on new branches, etc. Anyway,
separate isser, right, of taking two minim and doing her cover with that. That's a separate isser.
That's what that's what they are raising. Yeah. I don't know that lemons and the
spray. No, they may be also the main, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. It could be. It's enough of the main for these purposes, for those purposes.
Basically.
Tangerine, or that's where they... Good. Rabbi Yehuda agrees to everything that we said so far, but he says it's not a 30-day test, it's a 3-day test, meaning that Rabbi Yehuda holds that there's already some blooming and blossoming under the ground within 3 days. So therefore, if you go and plant it within 3 days before Rosh Hashanah of Shemitah, no good. But if you did it 4 days or 5 days or 6 days, that's fine, because it will already be absorbed partially into the ground if you planted it more than 3 days before. So you won't have a brand new Zeriah growing in the Shemitah year. Rabbi Yosef Reb Shimon Aymerim, Shtei Shabbosis. The Zman is 2 weeks. If you want, it's not 30 days, it's not 3 days, it's 2 weeks. Oh, this is Rabbi Yosef Reb Shimon. About this, Rav said, Ami be Rav, Shmei de Rav, Aloch Rabbi Yosef Bandroigis, Ubehar Kavo. That make sure not to go and plant it 2 weeks before. Fine, Zayu. I'm sorry?
A compromise.
That's what we call Yovi Akosva Shlishvech Riyemeneim, a third position that comes in that splits the difference. Not Mamish splitting the difference, but it's not 30 days, not 3 days, it's 2 weeks. Good. Fine. But now we're not finished. With this aspect of our Gemara, we're already done. But the Gemara adds yet another footnote, so we shouldn't make any mistakes. Rabbi Yossi, we already said, the Omer of Nachman, Omer Abba Ravu, the Dibi Oim Shloishim Tzorach, Shloishim U Shloishim, the Dibi Oim Shloishim Tzorach, Shloishim U Shloishim, the Dibi Oim Shtesha Bosses, Tzorach Shtesha Bosses, U Shloishim. What Rabbi Nachman is saying, Nimar Rabba Ravu, is all of these three, leaving their numbers intact, the 30, the 3, and the 2 weeks, but you have to add to that 30 more days in addition. Why? Having nothing to do with absorption in the ground, but having to do with what we call Toisvis Shemitah. Just like you have every single Shabbos, you have Toisvis Shabbos, where you're not supposed to go and wait till the final minute when Shabbos begins, but you're supposed to start Shabbos a little bit earlier. Same thing on Yom Kippur, you're not supposed to eat until the final moment before Shkia, you're supposed to be Marchik. Toisvis Shabbos, Toisvis Yom Kippur. You have the same concept over here by Toisvis Shemitah, but here everybody agrees that that Toisvis is 30 days. Where does this come from? It comes from the fact that there's a pasuk b'chorish u'v'kotzir tishbois. And the one has a machloikis, what does that mean, b'chotzir u'v'kotzir tishbois? Chorish means, of course, plowing. Kotzir means, k'tzira means harvesting. According to one man, the Yom, it's referring to Shabbos, according to the other man, Yom, it's talking about Shemitah. And the Gemara says, but isn't there a full-blown psukim? Aren't there full-blown psukim parshas Bahar that deal with that you're not allowed to be Choresh or Kotzer in the Shemitah year? What do I need this B'choresh or B'kotzer? It's going to tell you about Tois Shemitah that already 30 days before you got to leave the field and not do anything in the field. Leave it fallow, don't improve, don't prune, don't water, don't go and add fertilizer, don't plant, zero. Ah, so all of these halacha of the klita is referring prior to those 30 days. So it's not talking about, for instance, Rish Chodesh Elul, or 3 days before Rosh Hashanah. We're talking about Rish Chodesh Av, or 3 days before Rish Chodesh Elul, or 2 weeks before Rish Chodesh Elul. Because you have to be marchik 30 days because of the din of Tois Shemitah. Then prior to that, then you have to worry about these three shiurim of the klita, whether it's 30, 3 or 2 weeks. That's the end of the shtickle. That's why Rav Nachman said that the Be'ayim Shloishim need Shloishim u'Shloishim. According to Shloishim, it's Shloishim u'Shloishim. And according to Yosi and Rav Shimon, who are the winners, so to speak, according to Ami Beramish Meiderav, that's the halacha. 2 weeks, 2 weeks plus the Shloishim Yad. So therefore, on Chamisha Usab Av, that would be the final time that you can go and plant anything, or maybe Yudalid Av. Because by the time you hit Chamisha Usa, it's already 2 weeks. No good, you'd have to be oiker from the field. Yes, Billy, you have a question? On to Ushmul Amar. So now we've completed Ami Beirav, who was talking about androgynous and Harkov. Ushmul Amar, that we paskin like Reb Yossi, and parenthetically, Reb Shimon, the Kushi, the Kiddush. What is Kushi, the Kiddush? Kushi did not. Kami hei kishuya. The mayor oima oya arboima chamishim yoyim. This is relatively straightforward, Rabbi Yisai. It gets us into Hilchos Zava and Hilchos Yoledes. As we know, every single Zava means a young lady who has seen blood which is not part of her normal cycle. Her normal blood that she sees on a monthly basis is called Nida blood. After she sees her Nida blood, she has to wait 7 days. Doesn't have to be Shiva Nikiyam. Even if she didn't see any more blood, you got to go and wait 7 days. And at the end of the 7 days, she has to do a bedika. If the blood has stopped, she goes min ha-toira, she goes to the mikveh, and she's done. That's not the halacha lemaisa, but that's min ha-toira. Once she sees her normal menstrual cycle, whether she sees blood for 5 minutes, or she sees it for 3 days or 5 days, whenever it finishes, make a bedika at the end of 7 days. If it goes more than 7 days, you got to wait more than seven. But normally, most of the seeing of neither blood only goes 5 days, 6 days, whatever it is. So by the end of the 7th day, if there's no more blood, do a bedika. She can go to the mikveh, minatoya, that's fine. What happens if she sees a new onset of blood after that? That's called the Yud Aleph Yoyim Shebe Nida L'Nida. For the next 11 days, if she sees any blood during that time, if she sees only one sighting of blood, she's a Zov Ketana, she has to be Shemeres Yoyim Keneged Yoyim. If she sees 2 days in a row, again, Shemeres Yoyim Keneged Yoyim. If she sees 3 days in a row, then she's Zov Gedoyla, then she has to wait Sheva Nikiyim, and after that she has to bring a carton. Okay, that's fine. So that's the normal halacha of your regular zava. She saw three times, 3 days in a row. Then you have a din of shivanikim. Shivanikim means that entire 7 days not see a speck of blood. If she sees a speck of blood, she starts counting again from the very beginning. So you have 7 clean days altogether. What happens now if you have a yoledes? Yoledes means a young lady that is in pregnancy and is soon going to give birth. And she also starts to see ziva blood. Now, bear in mind, Rabbi, that most women that are pregnant don't have their normal cycles any longer. They don't typically see their regular nida blood, they don't see their ziva blood, and it all starts once again after she gives birth, and then you have the yimei tumah, yimei tayar, and then only after that do we start concerning ourselves once again about nida days, ziva days. However, there are some women that are yoldesim, that are in their pregnancy, and do see blood. It's something that happens. Now, what happens if she sees ziva blood? Meaning, she saw blood during the Yud Aleph Yom Shebein Nida L'Nida. Whether she actually had to see Nida blood, and then after that she had ziva blood, our Gemara doesn't go into it. Could very well be, she just looks at her calendar, and she knows that normally her Nida blood would be on Rosh Chodesh. She waited 7 days, nothing happened, and then on the 8th day, 9th day, ay, 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 3 days in a row, she saw blood. Chazava. Zava, she has to have Shivanikim. Fine. What happens, however, if at the same time that she saw the Ziva blood, she also had Kishui? Kishui means that she had labor pains. She started feeling contractions. And she said to her doctor and to all the rabbis, you know why I'm seeing the Ziva blood? Normally I wouldn't. Very rare for me to have Ziva blood. I always have my regular cycles. I never saw Ziva blood. It must be because, unfortunately, these pains are causing there to be some sort of eruption or some sort of a burst of vessel or whatever it happens to be, and there's Ziva blood which is coming out, but it's accompanied with this Kishi. Kishi means that labor, contractions, or says labor pains. Labor pains. Good. And that's why it's happening. Okay, and if in fact that is the case, then the Gemara says in Masechtas Nida, then she doesn't have to consider this to be Dam Ziva, it has the name of Dam Kishui, and therefore she does not have to go and sit Shivanikim. Now the question is, when did these labor pains together with the blood occur? Now, by the way, Rashi points out that if after the blood was seen, and the labor pains were felt, if after that she is bishoifi, shoifi means that she returned to normal, painless activity, so that, yes, 3 days in a row, 5 days in a row, it was really erupting, she called her doctor, she was taking some sort of Advil or Tylenol or whatever she was doing because she had pains, but after that, Baruch Hashem, it subsided, and the doctor said, no, it's all false labor, come back in a week from now, nothing happened. If that's the case, if at least 24 hours pass, and at that point, no labor pains, then we say that she was a Zova after all. Here we're talking about a situation where it just kept on contracting and contracting and paining until she finally gave birth. Question is, how long prior to the actual birth can you attribute it to labor pains and pains related to the pregnancy? And how far back do you say no? Obviously, for instance, if in the middle of her third month of pregnancy, she starts feeling pains, she says, oh, I think the baby's about to come out. It's only going to come out 6 months later. If she sees blood 3 days in a row during the Ziva period, avada, she's going to be a Zava. So there's got to be a period of time shortly before the expected due date that we can attribute it and say, this is not Ziva blood, but it's Kishui blood. And that's what the Mishnah tells in the Masechtas Nida, back to the Gemara, Kushi did not. We learned in the Mishnah, Kami Yehei Kishuya. How long pre-birth can we attribute it to Kishui blood and not Ziva blood? And if it's Kishui blood, there is no din of counting Shivanikim. Remeir Oimer Oy Arboim Oy Chamishim Yom, up to 40 or 50 days. Why does it say 40 or 50? The Gemara in Maseches Nida deals with that because normally it's either 40 or 50. Why does it say 40 or 50? The Gemara there discusses that. That's Remeir. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer Daya Chodsha. We give her the last month. In the 9th month of pregnancy. We'll come back to Rabbi Yehuda in a moment. Rabbi Yosef Shimon Aymer, En Kishe Yosef Mishtei Shabbosis. You only get 2 weeks. Interesting that Rabbi Yosef Shimon both here says Shtei Shabbosis and also the Gabbai, the Din of Harkava, also 2 weeks. I don't know if there's any connection whatsoever, but that's always been 2 weeks. Ah, so if it's the last 2 weeks prior to giving birth, 2 weeks she's feeling these labor pains, 2 weeks she is seeing blood, and at the end of the 2 weeks, boom, mazel tov, a baby is born. We will say this is dam kishri and not dam ziva. But if it was from 3 weeks before, 4 weeks before, we will not attribute it to dam kishri. It's got to be within the last 2 weeks of Shabbos. Just as a footnote, on this daya chodsha, on the surface it would sound like in the ninth month, which it is. However, Rashi points out it is also related to the calendar. And therefore Rashi says, sometimes you're getting the benefit of up to 30 days, and sometimes you're only getting the benefit of a day or two. Which means that if in her last month she gives birth, let's say 2 days after Rish Chodesh, Rish Chodesh, as you know, this month is going to be on Tuesday, she gave birth to Lemushel on Thursday, and she saw blood on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, yes, you get the benefit of saying kishri blood, all of that is fine. If she gives birth at the end of the month on Chof Ches or Chof Tes Sivan, she gets the benefit of the entire 28, not 29 days, the entire month prior to her giving birth. However, if, for instance, she were to give birth on Tuesday or Wednesday, you wouldn't go and say that the 3 days before, which was still in Chodesh Iyar, in other words, this Sunday, Monday, for instance, today and tomorrow, prior to Rish Chodesh, you wouldn't go and say that that's part of the Chodesh. Because Chodesh here doesn't just mean her ninth month, it means the ninth month, but also connected with the Chodesh of the calendar months. Yes, what is one? I'm sorry, yes, man.
No, you're fine.
What's the reason why? So the Gemara says, Maseches Nida, Rabbi Yehuda holds Shippur Garim, the shofar that the Beis Din uses to proclaim that we are now Mekadosh the Chodesh, that somehow had some sort of spiritual effect. The Gemara is hard to understand. It's a little bit of an esoteric sugya. I'm only bringing it up because somebody's going to look at the Rashi and say, hey, Rabbi Reder didn't talk about this. So if you look at the Rashi right before the wide line, Daya Chodesh, 2 lines before the end, Chodesh Chi, she should, your letters boy, that's the month that she's giving birth. Sometimes you only get the benefit of a day or two. The only blood that we say we can attribute to Dam Kishui is the blood that was seen from Rish Chodesh and on. Shein bo al yodei leziva, that won't cause it to become a zara. If she didn't go and see 3 days before Rish Chodesh, because the days before Rish Chodesh don't count for these purposes. The Kasev Rabbi Yehuda, Shippura Garim. What's my Shippura? Look at the parentheses. Shoyfish, Bez, and Toykin, Lakidish, Hachoydish, that's Goyra Makishri. Somehow that has an effect, a spiritual effect, an esoteric, Kabbalistic effect on Kishui. And therefore, from Rish Chodesh and on, Upamishu Matayas Kalachoydish. Sometimes, however, she can get the benefit of the entire month. Kigoyim Yolda Besoyfai, if she only gave birth on the 28th or 29th of the month. Veinatara Elami Ziva. This only helps regarding Ziva blood, but not from Nida blood, etc., etc. Anyway, the point is that you have the last month. Yes, what's up there?
To clarify, Kishui is the blood that comes from birth pangs?
Contractions.
The blood that is coming, in terms of her own personal calendar, it would normally be Ziva blood that would give a Shiva Nikia. But since it's accompanied by labor pains, pregnancy pains, what have you, we're going to attribute it and say that this is not the Ziva blood, but it's related to her Leda, and therefore she won't have to go and sit Shimonikim. If you're wondering what practical effect does that have, it's a major practical effect, because when the woman will give birth in Yetzer Shem after all the contractions are over and the doctors say, Mazel Tov, you have a baby, if it happens to be a Zohar, for the next 7 days, she's automatically Tameh, and the next 33 days after that, she's automatically Tohoyer. Same thing is by Nekeva, but double. First 14 days, she's automatically Tameh. Next 66 days, she's automatically Tohoyer. Now, what happens if during those 33 or those 66 days, she sees blood on a daily basis? Those are called Dmei Tahara. Those Dmei Tahara do not affect whatsoever her status regarding her husband. She is mutter to her husband because of the fact that these are Dmei Tahara. It's as if she got blood from her finger, which is constantly bleeding. Doesn't make any difference whatsoever. However, if she happens to be a Zava, even after she gives birth, we're going to have to wait for Shiva Nikiyam. There's going to have to be 7 days with no blood whatsoever, and then she can go to the mikvah, and then she's going to be Muteris Labah. Getting back to our Gemara. So what do we see from our Gemara? And then he has a Pesukta Kasha, right? You want to ask something? Yeah? Yes, Rabbi.
Did we mention Nida also?
We mentioned Nida, and Rashi said that this has nothing to do with Nida. If she had regular Nida blood, she would be a Nida. And therefore, again, it's rare for a pregnant woman to have Nida blood or Ziva blood. But if,
exactly, it's not Shayach.
I wouldn't say it's not Shayach. It's unusual, but it happens. Just like, for instance, most nursing mothers do not become pregnant because the blood gets transformed into milk. And therefore, they don't normally have the menstrual cycle. They don't normally become pregnant. But you'd be surprised. Many surprises have happened where women have been very diligent in nursing, figuring that this would be a good way to prevent another pregnancy. And guess what? And 6 months later, they're still in the middle of nursing very heavily every day, and boom, they become pregnant. Doesn't happen every day, but these things happen. So, same thing over here. Most pregnant women do not have neither blood or Ziva blood, but it does happen. And if it was neither blood, then she has to go and count 7 days, but not Shiva Nikiyam. And at the end of the 7 days, she goes to the mikveh and everything, assuming that she stopped seeing blood, we're done. But if it's Ziva blood... Yes?
How do we know if it's Ziva or Nida? How can we know the difference?
She has to look at her own personal calendar. Any normal, regular cycle is called Nida blood. Anything that happens, Yud Aleph Yoim Shebein Nida Lanida, that's called Ziva blood. So she has to look at her own calendar and know her cycle. 99% of the women keep calendars in the cycles, so they know all of these things. Anyway, it's because of that potential confusion that you are alluding to, that's why the Gemara says at the end, at very end of Sechtes Nida, that Reb Zeira said that Ar Benois Yisrael are all Kshedir saying, and they're all Machmer Alein, even when they see a Tipas Dam Kechardo, they always sit Shiva Nikiyam. Even though Minatoira wouldn't be necessary by neither blood, but since there's always the potential for the confusion, neither blood, and Ziva blood, and Kishri blood, and Leda blood, and Damsulim, and all the rest, you know what? They see a drop, boom, they always wait Shiva Nikiyam. Anyway, again, the halacha is by Kishoy, says Shmuel, like Reb Yosi, and parenthetically Reb Shimon. As you see again, Reb Yosi, Reb Shimon, Einim.
And the ram swarm, what, how does that affect the
That's a difficult concept. But again, that's the Gemara Maseches Nida, that according to the Mandiyama that holds it, it's 30 days. It's not just, okay, she gave birth on January 1st, so from December 1st until January 1st, any time during those 30 days, if she starts feeling contractions or labor pains, then it's considered to be Dam Kishui and not Dam Ziva. So Rashi said, no, that's not what Reb Yehuda holds. It says, you base it, of course, on the Jewish month. So now, if we're talking about Rosh Chodesh Sivan, so if it's in the last, well, let's say she gives birth on Rosh Chodesh Sivan, anything that happened during Iyar, she'd have the benefit of those 30 days. However, if she gave birth on the third day or the fifth day of Sivan, she only gets those last 3 or 5 days from Rosh Chodesh and on. I'm sorry?
It's like an overlay.
An overlay. You have to calculate both that it's in her ninth month and the ninth month starting from the final Rosh Chodesh pre-birth. So if the birth took place on day 3 or day 5, day 8, 28, whatever, you get from Rosh Chodesh until that day, but not more. Now we come to the final case, which is the case of Kiddush. In this case of Kiddush doesn't mean the Kiddush that we make on Shabbos and Friday night, but here we're talking about, in fact, Hilchos Kelayim. The reason why the Gemara calls it Kiddush is because by Kelayim it says in the Pasuk, Pentiktash Hamaleya, and the Gemara darshens Pentiktash Tukad Esh. And therefore the word Kiddush has become synonymous with Hilchos Kelayim. Where do we pasuk like Rabbi Yosi? Titnan Hamasach Gafnei Al Gabi Tavrosh Shol Chaveri. You have a person who has a grain field. For instance, wheat or barley is growing, and then somebody else goes and places on top of that a gefen. He goes and puts in a couple of poles in the ground and hangs on top of that the vines of a vineyard. Guess what? Now I'm going to have a kelayim issue because I have in the same dalet amos, so to speak, in the same field, both grain and gefen and vines and grapes which are growing. And that's a big problem. Says the Tanakh, Amar is a kiddush, v'chai b'achri yusai. The person who went and put up that gefen on top, and remember he did this illegally, he did it on the tefuah shel chavera. Wasn't supposed to. Okay, we're not worried about the choshen mishpat issues, we're worried about the fact that he caused kelayim. like the fact that he caused kelayim, he's going to have to go and uproot that geffen, take it away, and any of the tvur that has been so affected, he's going to have to go and pay him. That, in that respect, it becomes a choshen mishmarishim. Dibre meh. Rabbi Yoyis, Rabbi Shimon, oh, he got Rabbi Shimon again. So you see, it's not Rabbi Yoyis alone, it's Rabbi Shimon. They say, ein odem oyse dovish ene shaloi. That's not his state tvur. The tvur belongs to his friend. He has no right to go and aser it. So what he did, it's meaningless, it's zero, and the tvur remains kosher. He should go and take the geffen away because he's stealing from the other guy's property. But it does not affect the status of the tvur dabla. Now this concept is a little bit difficult to understand. On the surface, yeah, okay, it's my thing. Yeah, how can you go and ask somebody else's thing? But what happens if I go into somebody's house and I see that they are cooking a delicious chicken soup, or Shabbos is a delicious cholent, and the cholent has in it meat, so it's obviously a fleshy cholent. I go into the refrigerator, I take out a bottle of milk, open up, I pour it in, and tell the guy, you don't have to worry about it, it's still kosher, because ein odem oise dovish ene shaloi. It's not my milk, it's not my cholent, I did it, okay, I'm a bad guy, I shouldn't have done it, but hey, no, does that make sense? So that's not my kosher, that's a top choice. I'm sorry?
It has to be Hishrish, though, doesn't it also?
Well, not by the chunt. You just have
no,
to have
no, no, I'm talking about the Tua.
Okay, we're assuming that was there for a year. No, there was no problem. Uh-huh. Now, if you look at the top choices over here, that person is cooking wonderful kosher meat, and I put in a shtickle nevela. Or, oi, it's not clear what it means, cholov or chelev, but either way, it's going to make the other thing aser. B'tav shel chaver shenes, avad is going to make it aser. If I put chelev or cholov into the other by's fleishige roast or fleishige cholent, of course I'm going to aser it. The omari, the bedobra toli b'machshava, who the omar hachi? It's got to be in a case of something which is toli b'machshava. Kigoin, ha-mishtach v'dehem is chaver. As we know, there's a halacha of ne'evad. If a person goes and bows down to his own behema, the person must be a shtikl behema to go and bow down to his behema, but that's what he did. And what happens to that behema? That behema now becomes ne'evad, and therefore it becomes osir, certainly for karbonos, perhaps even for chulin in terms of isur hanoah, but we are not going into hilchas avodah zarah now. So what happens if I'm not mishtachvet to my own animal, I'm mishtachvet to somebody else's animal? Does that make that animal a ne'evad? Says the filu. Even if I went and shechted the other guy's animal, I grabbed Brother Shai's animal, I grab it, it's a seh or a keves or a shor, and I go and shechted it. According to the Mandi Eker, it does not become osir. I did avoid it, it's not mine. Because that requires machshav. The Issa Kalayim Nami Tolim Machshav. You know, Mesechus Kalayim, Kabi Eloi Yerek, Kishagia El Katenov, Elohis Masayim Mutter. There also it has to be something involving machshav. Since Kalayim is involving machshav, I cannot go and impose my machshav on your goods. So when it comes to the case in the Vela or Chedav or Cholav in the Milchiks and Fleshiks, that's not Tolim Machshav, it's just Toli in the Maisa. Do you have Basa B'cholav? Don't you have Basa B'cholav? You have Basa B'cholav? It's Osir. Makes no difference whether I poured it in, you poured it in, whether it's yours or mine. Makes no difference.
It's the chafsa, not the gara.
Okay. Machshava. In the case over here, we're talking about it requires machshava. So just like by Shchita or Lagabe, bowing down to Yenem's behema, nothing happens. It's not my behema. Here too, with Gabi Kilayim, even though I put my geffen on top, it doesn't become Kilayim. So therefore, that's what we have now. Rav said, or Ami Be Rav said, in the name of Rav, we paskin like Rabbi Yosi and Dragnes on cover. Shmuel says we paskin like Rabbi Yosi by Kushi and Kiddush. Rav, do you have a question?
The Kohen can pasuk make it bigger.
Yeah.
This is
This in fact is the specific halacha of the Torah, that the person who's bringing the korban, if he has a machshava of, the pasuk says lo yichoshev lo yipigul giyah, so it could be that this is an exception to the rule. We'd have to investigate that a little bit more. Rabbi is saying by pigul it's always, not always, but typically it's the koyin who's making kaliyah. He is being makalkal the other guy's carbon.
Yeah, but I think he's chayav there, right? Do we have that? We have
he's definitely chayav.
We had a question where the kohen is chayav to the baal.
He's unquestionably he's chayav to the baal. The only question is why don't we say emam abdoiz adav sheni shaloi? That's Rabbi's question, and it's totally there b'machshava. But there, that's the whole halacha. The whole halacha is that the kohen who brings it, the baalim can also machkal yet the own carbon, but the kohen too. Presumably, we'd have to look at the sukkim. Maybe that would be a special halacha on its own. Anyway, the Gemara now asks an obvious question. Since Rav, or Amri Bei Rav, the name of Rav, so we pass like Rabbi Yosi by Andreyin and Sarkov, Shmuel, so we pass like Rabbi Yosi by Kushav Kiddush, what does Rav hold the Gabi Kushav Kiddush? What does Shmuel hold the Gabi Androgynous and Harkov? That's what the Gemara asks now. Iboilu, Bandroginus, Mali Yomishmu. What did Shmuel say Bandroginus? Toshimadi, Yomishmuel, Rav Onan. We have this already on the Amud Aleph. We do not follow the Braisa, we follow the Mishnah, and therefore Shmuel would agree to the Amri Beirav that we hold like Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon, like the Mishnah, that it's a Zohar Vatri. Maharkova Mali Omar Shmuel, what did Shmuel say Maharkova? Toshimad Yomli Shmuel Ravonan. Tani, Kimandi Omar, Shloisha Ushloishim. Don't follow the Mandi Omar that says 30 plus 30. Not the man, the Yomar, that holds 2 weeks and 30, but rather the 30 and the 3. So obviously he does not agree with Amri Beirav, because according to Amri Beirav, we pass him like Rabbi Yosef Reb Shimon, that say, Shtisha Bosso is 2 weeks. Kishi Mali Omer Rav, what did Rav say by Kishi? I have no raya one way or the other, ich weiß nicht. Take. Kiddush Mali Omer Rav, Omer Rav Yosef Toshimad, Yom Rav Huna Omer Rav, Ein Aloch Rabbi Yosi. We do not follow Rabbi Yosi, the Gabi, the Aloch of Kiddush, about the person who was mesachich gafnoi, he went and put his gefen on top of the other person's tzvua. We do not follow Rabbi Yosi. Amalei Abaye, my chaz is samchas ha, smoicha ha. You just quoted now Rav Huna Amarav that ain't aloch k'Rabbi Yosi. I have the Amarav ad Amarav halacha k'Rabbi Yosi. We do follow Rabbi Yosi. Oy oy oy. So we have a machlokes. What did Rav really hold? Why did you say automatically, instinctively, that Ami Beirav Mishmei Derav, that he holds Ein Halach Ki Rabbi Yosi, maybe like Rav Ada Omer Rav Halach Ki Rabbi Yosi, says Imar, that's not a problem, because Ami Beirav Manu, that's Rav Huna. You see on the side it says Sanhedrin Yud Zayin, Sanhedrin Yud Zayin, it says whenever it says Ami Beirav, it means Rav Huna. Oh, Rav Huna Omer Ein Halacha. So since Amri Beirav on the Amud Aleph, Rashi, remember, already said that that's Rav Huna, Kidla Kamon, which is our Gemara now. So therefore, if we want to know what did Amri Beirav say, Rav Huna Marav said, Ein Aloch K'Rabbi Yosi. And therefore, that's the same Amri Beirav that would hold Ein Aloch K'Rabbi Yosi. Okay, we go back to our Mishnah now. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Tumtum. We finish with Androgynous and these other halachas. It says in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says that if you have a Tumtum, Tumtum, as you know, means that initially you were not able to tell whether he was a Zohar or a Nekeva, because everything was a major cover-up. Says Rabbi Yehuda, Tumtum Shenikra, if you took a Tumtum to the doctor, and they did a surgical procedure, and they opened it up, then him Zohar, and you find underneath the cover-up, in fact, that he has a Gid and Bayim, that he's a real Zohar, Lo Yachloitz, don't allow him to participate in a Chalitza ceremony, Meneshehu Kisaris, he has a status just like a soris, like a sris chama, that will not be able to go and be molded, and therefore he is possible for purpose chalitza. Don't even try, don't even bother, because he's a soris.
There's another opinion that says that soris chama is kosher.
That's a machloek between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Lezer back in that Mishnah. You're 100% right. Omrim Ami, my obedlei Rabbi Yehuda letumtum debiri. What would Rabbi Yehuda do in the famous case of the Tumtum of the town or the city of Biri? That what happened? There was a famous case. You remember, you read about it in the papers. They had him go and lie down. You could say kursei means his stomach from Lashon Keres. But the article says kursei means his chair. He sat down on his chair, the surgical chair, wherever they were going to perform the surgery. The ikra, and they performed the surgery. And then after that, they found that he was a zohar. The oilet sheva banan, and after that, his wife gave birth to 7 children.
Wow.
Obviously, Rabbi Yehuda is wrong. You see? So, Timar, Rabbi Yehuda, Amalei, Chazar albana mi'ayin heim. If you would ask Rabbi Yehuda, he would say, go and check out the facts. I'm afraid that the wife did not become pregnant from the husband, but rather she became pregnant from a stranger, and all of these kids are mamzerim. Because Rabbi Yehuda was very strong and steadfast, The person is a vadai sars. Tanya Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Oimer. This Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, Rashi points out, is the son of the same Rabbi Yehuda, and he didn't say that it was vadai. The Rabbi said tumtum lo yachloitz. Don't allow a tumtum to be choletz. Shem yikra, because maybe eventually you're going to do the surgery. The nimtzah srischama, and you're going to find out that he was a srischama. So now the Gemara initially points out, why does Rabbi Yosef Yehuda automatically assume that the tumtum is going to be a zachar? After all, if there's a major cover-up, it might turn out that the tumtum was an akeva. And if it was an akeva, then certainly you could not rely on his or her chalitza, because you're talking about an akeva. Zok Tiyumara, why did Rabbi Yosef Yehuda automatically assume Shem Yikra v'nim to Srischama? Or to call the Makareya, Zohar Hava? It's got to be at least 5%, maybe 15% chance that it's in the cave. So Simon, you're right. Hachi Kamar, you have to do a little bit of surgery on what Rabbi Yosef Yehuda said, not on the Tumtum, on Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, that Shema Yikra, you know why don't allow him to do the Chalitza, because maybe they're going to do the surgery v'nim to the cave. And if it's in the cave, of course, then the cave can't give a chalitza to the Yavama. That's ridiculous. And even if you're going to find that it's a Zachar, Shema Yimotzi Srischama, maybe it's Srischama, who's also disqualified from doing a chalitza. Okay, so now, what's the difference? My Binai, what's the difference between the father, Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah, that said, don't allow him to do a chalitza, and Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, his son, that also said, don't allow for doing a chalitza? Now, in terms of halacha, they both said the same, don't do a chalitza. The question is, what was the approach? Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah said the reason is because he's a vadai srischama. If he gives birth, or his wife gives birth to 7 children, they're not his. They're all chas v'sholom mamzer. Rabbi Yehuda said, maybe, shema, oh, perhaps. So what's the nafkimina? Amarava, lifsel b'mokim achim, v'lachloitz shaloi b'mokim achim. Lifsel b'mokim achim means, what happens if this Yavam is not the only Yavam in town? There are a number of other brothers. And he did a chalitza. The question is, are the other brothers allowed to go and be miyabem this Yavam? Under normal circumstances, as soon as one of the brothers gives a chalitza, all the rest of the brothers are ushered to go and marry her. Whether or not that's an Isser Lav, or whether it's happens to be an Isser Kares, we had a Machloikas earlier on in our Masechta, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. But there's no question that the others are not allowed to go and be Miyabim after the Chalitza. Oh, however, what was this Chalitza? According to Rabbi Yehuda, this Chalitza was meaningless. Why is it meaningless? Because he's a Saris. I don't care what this, or an Akeva, or a Saris, and therefore, possible to do Chalitza, and therefore, any surviving second, third brother could go be Miyabim. But not according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, because according to Yehuda, it's chasavik. Maybe this was a good chalitza, maybe it wasn't. Because Shema Yikra v'nimtza. What happens? Shema Yikra v'nimtza zohar v'nimtza, he's able to go and Baruch Hashem father children. So then he would be a good chalitza. So therefore, none of the brothers allowed to go and marry her, be miyabim her, because it was a chalitza already by the first brother. So that would be one nafkimina. Can you be miyabim? Can you not be miyabim? And number two, what happens if he happens to be the only brother left? There are no other brothers. The question is, are we going to tell him, do a chalitza to be on the safe side? Couldn't Rabbi Yehuda, don't even think about the word chalitza. This is on the keva, this tumtum. Or if he happens to be a zohar, he's a saris, nothing to worry about. Let her marry anybody she wants. Couldn't Rabbi Yehuda, no. We'll have him go and do a chalitza misafek, since he's the only brother in town. Go and do a chalitza. And then, after that, she'll be able to be married Lashuk. Ikimirai. Omer Rav Shmuel Yehuda, Omer Rav Acha Achva, the Rav Yehuda Barzavdi, Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer Rav. Okay, now we're getting back to the sugya that we spoke about at the very end of yesterday's blot. And this talks about things that we don't normally talk about or think about, but it's Gemara, and the Gemara, it's Torah, Hivaluman, Anitzarech. Androgynous Chayavan Olav Skilu Mishtei Mekarnes. If an androgynous lives with another male, he is chayiv skila, whether he lives zachrus to zachrus or zachrus to nakvus. What does that mean? In the normal situation, when you have mishkav zuchar, you have two males. How could they possibly engage in living together? After all, they're both males. And the answer is, presumably, that one of them inserts his aver into the back, the rectum of the other one. That would be what we would call zachrus. Here by the androgynous, as you know, has both Zachrus and Nakvus. That being the case, if he lives with another Zohar, the Zohar has, if you will, the convenience of being able to go and choose between the back or between the normal nakvas that you would normally find by a regular lady. The question is, when would there be a din of skila? Said Reuda Marav, I'm not going to check which one it was. It makes no difference. Chayam lo skila mishtei mekoymis, whether it was Zachris to Zachris, Zachris to nakvas. In both cases, skila. Thank you, Meisvei. Reb Lezer Omar, Adroinus Chayovin Olav Skila Kibizachar, which means only Zachar, but Medvamur Bizachar Shalai, Abanakvi Shalai Potter. If the Androgynous lived together with another Zachar, and the Zachar went and lived with the Nakvus of the Androgynous, then that's not called Mishkav Zachar anymore. And therefore, he'd be Potter. So that's Shver on what we just said in the name of Rav Shmuel, by Yehuda, Merab, Rab, Rab. Rav Yehuda Merav, which is of course an Amoira, Chadudu Atana, that says that you're potter.
No, no, this is the opposite of what
he had, just the opposite. And for the more, Hudi Amikai Tana, he found another Tana, the sign you learned that by the Psmoi Omer, Androgynous Chayov and Olive Skinu Mishneh Mekoimus. Oh, that's the Taka the Mandiyom and the whole Skinu Mishneh Mekoimus. So therefore, that's Rav, that's that Tana. So we have a Machloikis Tanoi. My Tama Rav Psmoi, where does Rav Psmoi come from that you're Chayov on both Mekoimus? Amarovic, Barhamduri. I'm sorry, Omer Rava, Barhamduri Azbraliya. Barhamduri explained it to me. It says in the Pasuk, V'yazohar li'sishkav mishkevei isha. So, although of course it's normally talking about two zacharim living together like a man and a woman, he teaches the Pasuk, Ezeu zachar shiyesh boi shnei mishkaveis. When do you find a zachar that has both options, both to live zachris to zachris or zachris to nakvus? Heliyoim is the androgynous. Only androgynous has both simanim. A regular Zohar, living with a regular Zohar, doesn't have the opportunity to do a normal living together. It has to be from the back, and that's what we call a Bia Shalei Kedarka. But only by androgynous you have the possibility of Kedarka, Shalei Kedarka. That's the Pasuk. And therefore, Yechai B'Shtei Mekoymais, says Reb Simoy. Rabban, what did Rabban do with this Pasuk? Avagav, the Ispei Shnei Mishkovitz, Ezohar Ksiv. Say the Rabban, I agree with you. The Pasuk is talking about an androgynous who has the two options of Mishka Ve'isha. But you know when you're Chayiv, you only Chayiv off the S Zachar. If you do B'mokim Zachris, if you do B'mokim Nakvis, you're off the hook. Faitimur Rabbanan, Zachar Grey Deminalu. If the Rabbanan are learning that this Pasuk is talking about an androgynous, we're going to have a Pasuk about a normal Zachar, not a normal, an abnormal Zachar living together with a Zachar. Where are you going to have a Pasuk with that if you're talking about that the Pasuk is talking about androgynous? Now, the Choyer of the Kash is not only in the Rabban, the Choyer of the Kash is also on Reb Simoy. So Rashi says, no, Reb Simoy is Nishkev Ferlach, because Reb Simoy can go and learn. The Vezokhar, the Sishka, Mishke Isha, that's telling us both. Both the Zohar that has Mishke Ve'isha, both possibilities, as well as a regular Zohar. However, the Chacham that learned the word Es Zohar to exclude and to contract the halacha of an androgynous, to say that you're only Chayiv on one Mishkev, the Mishkev Zachris. So they can learn that this Pasuk is talking about Zachorim normally, rather it's only talking about androgynism. So how do they know about a Zohar? Greda min aluhu. And the next few words of the Gemara, L'choira, don't relate to this, because the Gemara says we learn it from Isha. After all, we're talking about a Zohar. How can you learn a Zohar from an Isha? And therefore we have to add the words from the Bach. The Bach is Ois Beis. If you look in Ois Beis, in yours, I think it's on the right-hand side towards the bottom. However, in our Gemara's, it's on the left. Yeah, you found that?
Yeah.
So, Ois Beis. From the Rabbonon, Zohar Grade Minolo, Mi V'es. Put a period up there. Mi V'es. The Pasuk doesn't start Es Zohar, it says V'es Zohar. So, V'es Zohar tells you, number one, the Zohar Leisishka Mishka Ve'isha, the Androgyne Zohar, and V'es Zohar comes to tell you the regular Zohar, the Zohar Grade. That's that. Now the Gemara asks the next Kasha, Isha Shloi, we're still with the Bach. Isha Shloi Kedar Kaminole. How do I know that an Isha who lives together with an Ish, for instance, if you're talking about an Ish's Ish, a man goes and lives with a married woman, but not his married woman, somebody else's married woman. We know that that's, of course, a terrible, terrible Isur. What happens if he doesn't live with her Kedarka? He lives with her from the back. That is a Shloi Kedarka Minole. How do you know that you're Chayiv on that as well? Oh, from the fact that it says, Me Isha, at the end, it could have said, V'ezocha le'sishka mishkovois, Why does it say Mishkevei Isha? To go and tell you that this din of Shloi Kedarka not only applies by androgynous, and not only applies by Mishkev Zuchar, but also would apply to an Isha, an Eshes Isha, or for that matter, any one of the Aroyas, you'd be Chayev Shloi Kedarka. Okay, now we continue on Omer of Shizbi. We skip a line, Omer of Shizbi.
But it doesn't apply to husband and wife.
Husband and wife, they are allowed to live Kedarka and Shloi Kedarka. About it, though, no Isser involved. Just like a man and wife cannot live Kedarka, they can live Shloi Kedarka. But someone else who is violating the law and living with somebody else's wife, or living with his sister, living with his aunt, any one of the Aroyas, he'd be Chayef Sai if he's living Kedarka and Sai if he's living Shloi Kedarka.
A transgender, what do you call it? Is that the halacha of like an androgynous?
You have to ask a contemporary halachic authority.
Yeah,
let's continue on.
Didn't we have earlier in the Masechta whether Shlo Kedarka is considered to be Bia, whether it's Kona or not?
That was Yivam, right?
And there it seemed to imply that it
the Gemara, the Mishnah said that Yivam, you're Kona, both Kedarka and Shlo Kedarka. That was a Mishnah. It says all the types of things. Harah, even if you didn't have a Gemara Bia, whether it's Boinus, Barot, and Meshoigig, all of those were listed in the Mishnah itself. Amar of Shizvi, Amar of Chizda. Loyla koil Amar Blazer Androgynous Zocher Ma'alihu. Even though we just finished saying that Blazer holds that Androgynous is Zocher, and therefore if he lives with another Zocher, we have a din of Skila. However, even Blazer wasn't so absolute in every single case. There are cases where even Blazer would hold it. Blazer would hold that Androgynous is not a Zocher. In which case? Shematoimikim Mugdoshim Yiktish. What the Gemara is telling us is, without elaborating, that we're going to go and change now from men or from human beings, now lahavdil to animals. And that is what happens if a person wants to bring an animal, which is an androgynous, just like people can have both signs, you can have an animal that has both signs of zachris and nakvis. Can you bring that for a carbon? L'choyre kudin treblezer, that just got finished saying, Skila, it's a Vadi Zachar. He should hold that it's a Vadi Zachar. Wherever you need a Zachar, you should be able to bring an androgynous. Would you need a Zachar? For instance, a carbon Oila. Oila always has to be a Zachar. Can you bring an androgynous? And the answer is no. Even a Kutra Blazer. So we see that Loila Koil Umra Blazer androgynous Zachar Ma'ayu. Shematoimikin, if you would say otherwise, then Mugdashim Yigdash. Then wherever you need a Zachar, bring an androgynous, because it has the status of a Zachar. How do I know Taket? It's not Kodesh. It's Tan Rabbanan. We have a Braisa. Hanirba. Now we're not listing behemoth or Baisai. We're listing Oifois. An Oif which was nearby. A man who is totally deranged went and lived with a Oif, with a bird. The person presumably has a
foul.
It's a foul act that a person has a bird brain for doing something like that. Viha muktza. Muktza means a bird that was set aside for a takroivis avoidazar. It means to go and bring a sacrifice for the, what we would call a korban. They have set it aside for bringing for an avodah zarah. V'haneva, neva means that you actually worship this oif. You saw a beautiful robin with, which was with a blue belly or red belly. Somebody's going to say there's no such thing. Whatever. It's so beautiful, you bow down to it and you said, oh, dibista got. You're not allowed to use that for a carp. V'esnan, we know in esnan zoyna, you use this bird as a payment to live with a zoyna. Or mechir kelev means that you went and you switched it for a dog. V'tumtum androgynous. That's why we're bringing this price. If you have an oif, which is a tumtum androgynous, all of these you're not allowed to bring for a carbon for an oif. Like a chattas oif, oilas oif. What happens if you brought it for a chattas oif and you did malika? As you know, by oif, as you do malika, you don't do shchita. And then after that, the kohen ate from it. Metam begonim abeis ablia, he becomes tame. The reason why the Gemara tells us metam begonim abeis ablia is because and the velis oif tohar is not metame be maga ubamasa. It's only metame after you eat it and you eat a large enough piece, goes down the beis ablia down into your stomach. Oh, then the person becomes tame as well as his begonim. Now, why are these considered to be nevelis? Because you didn't shech them; you did a malika. Normally, it's always a nevela. Yes, it's a special din, the base of Midrash. If it's a kosher carbon, the kahanim allowed to go and eat from it. But otherwise, this is an avela. So it's metam base of Midrash. Reblezo oime to the androgynous, eime tam begodim a base of Midrash. Why? Shoy reblezo oime komokish neme zocher ne keva atam oitzi tum the androgynous ben benea. Voi voi vle neme boi zocher ne kevi atam oitzi tum the androgynous ben benea. What is Reblezo telling us? There's a famous rule in Kodshim that Zachris, I'm sorry, you got me off.
I'm sorry.
What does it say over there? doesn't say exactly the Nakvis. It says the din of a balmum only applies to Tamus v'zachris. Tamus v'zachris v'behema v'in Tamus v'zachris v'oifis. Tamus means that a behema has to be a tam and not a balmum. Only applies to behemas. It doesn't apply to oifis. Oifis is a din of a chusur eiver, but there's no din of a balmum. So for instance, by an animal, if you have a nick in the eyelid or in the ear, that would be a mum by a behema. But if you have the same thing by an oif, it doesn't passel. So you have tamus and the din of zachris. Zachris means if you need a zachar or an akeva, this only applies to behemas, so it doesn't apply to oifis, because the trainer nowhere talks about that an oif has to be a zachar and a keva. By behemas, it says by an oilet has to be a zachar, a chatus typically has to be kizbos ira, it's got to be an akeva. There's no such mention by oifis. So therefore, Zokter Blezer, when you're talking about behemas, when the trainer requires a zachar, don't bring a tum, don't bring an androgynous. You need a zocher vade, you need an akeva vade. But oifis, the Torah never says zocher and akeva. So you can go and bring as many tum to androgynous as you want. And therefore, it's a kosher carbon if you're talking about a oifis or oif or chatas oif. But the key is that Reb Lezer says that komokiv shenem zocher and akeva, which means by behemoth, at a moitzi tum and androgynous. Don't bring it. Why can't I bring an androgynous? Androgynous, we said, according to Reb Lezer, is the chav zocher vadai. So bring it wherever you need an oil, a zocher vadai. And for the Gemara, loyla koil amar Blazer. There are exceptions. Even a kuntra blazer by karbonis, by a behema, we don't say that it's a zocher vatay. And says Gemara, I'll bring you another raya. Amar nachav yitzchak afen anami tanina. We learned also another case. Reblazer oimer hakelayim utreifa v'yoytzidoyfin and tubdeva androgynous loykedoyshin v'loy mikhadshin. What does it mean, loykedoyshin v'loy mikhadshin? It doesn't mean that they can make kiddush or not, but rather the Yomishmur, like Kadoshim Mitzmura, but like Mekachin, be Oyset Tmura. Not only can you not make any of these into a carbon by being Makdish them, Rashi says if you Makdish them, the Kedusha will not be a Kedusha's Aguf, it'll be a Kedusha's Domin, just like if you would go and take a Chweiss, an elephant, and you Makdish it to bring a carbon in the base of Mekdish, can you bring an elephant? Of course not. You don't have to talk about elephants, you can talk about dogs or cats or horses. None of these are kosher for bringing for Karbanis. Even a kosher venison, which you're allowed to eat at Tzvi Vayol, but you can't bring it for a carb. So if you're makdish, it only gets kedushas dum and doesn't get kedushas aguf. And so therefore, says Shmuel, like kedushim mitmura, what happens if you have a behema which is a proper carbon and you want to transfer the kedusha to this kelayim trade for yoytzadayv and tedradraginus? It doesn't become kodesh. You're not allowed to do that. The Torah says, lo yomer oisai, lo yomerenu. 100%. But if you do it, for Yehus Marasi Yekodesh, here it does not get Kedusha at all, because these things are considered to be like horses and elephants. They don't get Kedusha Saguf. They cannot also make others into a Tamura. Now the question is, why can't they become Kodesh? Didn't you tell me an androgynous is a status like a Zachar? So you should be able to bring it for a carbon. This is Reb Lezer again here on the bottom of the Yomelef Nantunir Reb Lezer. The same Reb Lezer that holds it's a Zohar Vadai the Gabe human beings, but when it comes to animals, he holds it's not a Zohar Vadai after all. And then we have one final member here before we end the Perek. Reb Lezer, Ima Chayovan Olof Skiva Kizohar, Zohar Tibor, Tanya Omer Rebbe, Kisholach Lumotayr Eitzer Reb Lezer Ben Shemua. Says Rebbe, when I went to learn the yeshiva of Reb Lozer ben Shemur, that's the famous Reb Lozer of the Mishnah, Chavru olai talmid of Kitane Goylim shall base Bukya, all the talmidim in that besmedish, in that yeshiva of Reb Lozer ben Shemur, they all teamed up against me in a very fierce way, like the Tane Goylim, like the roosters of Beis Bukin. Beis Bukin is the name of a place, and those were known to be very fierce Tarnagoylem, that any new Tarnagol came in, they would go and push him out, even violently, get out of here, because they were very protective of their space. So it says, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, I came to learn Reb Lozer ben Shemur, the other Talmidim, they would say, who needs you here? Stay outside. They didn't even let me learn. The only halacha that they allowed me to go and learn from Reb Lozer ben Shemur, who was repeating from our Mishnah. This is obviously before Rebbe codified the Mishnahis, otherwise he himself put the Mishnahis together. This is talking about in his younger years. What did Reb Lozer ben Shemur teach him? Did Reb Lozer Oimer androgynous chayov and olav skila kizachar, like we find in our Mishnah. why Davka this halacha that they allow him to learn, didn't they allow him to learn? The article says, look it up in the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi has a bederek drush, why particular this halacha. But another thing that the article brings in is that the Tosfos on in Menachos and Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph asks from other Gemaras where Rebbe does quote from Rebbe Lozer ben Shemua a number of different memras. And our Gemara says he was only able to go and learn this one memra of Androgynous Chayav Lavskil Kezachar. Says the Tosfos this was initially. But apparently after a day or two or after a week or two, finally Rebbe was able to ingratiate himself with his new friends. And then they let go and they said, okay, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, come on in. He probably wasn't Yehuda Nasi at that time. They said, come in and learn together with the rest of us. So this was only, initially he had these labor pains, if you will. But after that, Baruch Hashem, he became a full-fledged Talmud of Rabbi Lozer ben Shimon. Ham lecha oro, ham lecha oro, ham lecha oro. Netshe will start tomorrow, brand new perek, Yesh Mutaris Lebalayan. You could make a see him now on the second volume of Oscar.